over to Reverend Shauna for our chalice lighting.
Thank you, David. And if you have a chalice or a candle, it doesn't have to be fancy or sophisticated. I invite you to find your chalice or your candle and to light yours along with me.
Jamie, can you start the recording now? Oh, good. Thank you.
As we light our chalice flame this morning, the flame represents the warmth of community, which we can feel across the distance between us. It also represents the beacon of resilience and of comfort in these challenging times for all who are grieving this day, for all who are fearful this day, for all who need our love and connection and care, though we can't be with them physically. The beacon of community and hope shared together. Blessed be. Well, this morning, I'd like to talk to the young people especially well. As you can see, I'm not so much going to read a story as have a conversation with you. And one thing I've started to learn about this Zoom medium is that you can do some interesting things with your face. So if there are kids out there, I would love it if you would wink at the screen with me. Can you do that? Any winkers out there? Anyone? Oh, Finn's thinking about it. I don't know. Oh, Demetrius might, but I don't know. You never know. Well, even some of the adults are winking at me. Alex is showing me his truck. That's cool. Yeah. So even across this distance, we can have a conversation. And so I'm going to talk with the young people today about whether there's anyone in your family, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, especially an adult type person, who's ever told you what I would call a remember when story. Have you ever heard somebody say, remember when there was that huge snowstorm, or remember that time when you broke your arm when you fell off of the slide on your school playground? That happened to me when I was six. I broke my arm, and I remember when. And they tell all these remember when stories. And sometimes when we're little, we're not sure whether we're that interested in remember when stories, because they happened a long time ago, some of them, and then we weren't there maybe, and we don't really know exactly what it is that they want us to remember. But I think that this Easter is going to be a remember when time. So I want to remind you that when somebody says to you, do you remember when during Easter weekend we were all at home and we just had our own family? We didn't go see other people. We usually go visit people, but there was that year that there was this virus thing happening. And I remember that we stayed home and it was a different kind of Easter. In fact, it was just a different kind of spring. Remember when we didn't have school for a really long time? Remember when our parents just weren't sure what to do with us? This is going to be a remember when kind of time. And what I'm hoping is that we can remember when something really important about this time. I'm hoping that we can remember when we learned how to show people that we cared about them in a different and new kind of way. I'm hoping that this is going to be a remember when we learned how to send cards again through the mail to tell somebody we cared about them, that we were thinking of them. I'm hoping this is going to be a remember when we could look at people and wink at them on the computer kind of time. I'm hoping it's going to be a remember when we were able to share with people our wishes, our hopes, our love, and our care from a distance, that we learned how to do that better than we ever had before, so that whenever we needed to do it again in the future, we found out that we were actually really good at it because these were muscles we had learned how to use that we'd kind of forgotten about before. So I hope that when somebody says to you, Do you remember when in 2020 we had this kind of strange time that was a little bit different? And what do you remember about it that you're going to say, I remember when, even though there was more space than there had ever been before between me and some people I know and care about, I felt closer to them. Even though there was more space, I felt closer to them. Remember when I learned how to do that. I hope you'll remember that with me and remember that about this time. Looks like baby Corby's all ready for it, leaning in and everything. So that's great. Well, thank you, everyone. I hope you'll remember that about this remember when time. We're going to move now into our time of offering, which is taking a different shape these days. As you are probably well aware now, our congregation needs your support as much, if not more, than it always has. While all of our renters are not using the space, and while we're not sure whether we can have our usual service auction, which is often one of our greatest lines of revenue each year, the congregation needs your generosity as much as possible, as much as you are able. As you can see on the screen now, you can donate online, which is probably the easiest and quickest way for the church to receive your gifts. You can click at any time on the donate button on our church's website. You can also, as always, mail a check to the church at its regular mailing address. We want to invite you at this time to keep up with your 2020 pledge or to make an extra offering to the church to support its existence into the future and to help us bridge this difficult time when our income is less than usual. We also hope that, as always, that we can give to Share the Plate organization, which for this month is the BC Agriculture in the Classroom organization. And so when you offer, make an offering, either online or on your check, please be sure to indicate how you would like us to allocate those funds. It makes the life of our treasurer and those in our congregation who care for money much easier when you tell them whether you want it to completely go to the Share the Plate organization, completely go to the church, or whether it's part of your 2020 pledge. So if you can do that, it would make it a wonderful thing. You can see in the chat all of the information about how to donate online and to where to send your check of support. We want to make sure that you know throughout this time that we are here for you, that your church community is here for you in a new and different way, yes, but no less than before. And with your offering, we can continue to exist in these new ways and continue to move forward as a community in the midst of this pandemic. Thank you for your continued generosity and support. It is crucial in this time. We've noticed, and I've noticed, perhaps you've noticed too, that the losses are mounting in this time, that we have now experienced over 1.8 million cases of COVID-19 worldwide, and that more than 110,000 people have lost their lives. And while the losses are mounting, so are the everyday losses, the losses of routine, the losses of the familiar, the losses of what we're used to. And so we look for solace. We look for places to find the gifts that have been given that will remain and that will continue no matter what. And one of the losses this week was the loss of musician John Prine. And so as we were planning this service this week, I was remembering a song of his that has meant a great deal to me over time, and I've now begun to learn more about his music. And as David Vest and I spoke, we thought it would be fitting to have one of his songs as part of our service this morning. And so in a moment, your screen will become some images of John Prine as a young man and growing older, and you will hear David Vest singing his song, part of his song, Angel from Montgomery.
I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were thunder and lightning were desire, this old house would have burnt down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing I can hold on to believe in this living, just a hard way to go.
To believe in this living. Perhaps it has felt like a hard way to go recently. I invite you for our centering prayer, if you wish, to turn off your video just to center and not worry about appearances on the screen. And I invite you to breathe deeply with me. To center down into that part of yourself which is aware of what feels most essential, most precious, most important to you. Spirit of life and of love, in this holy season for so many all over the world, this season of Passover and Easter, we are aware that this is a time that really invites our meditations and our prayers. We are aware that our meditations and our prayers are one of the ways that we can reach out, a way that we can feel connected, a way that we can feel in touch with our own empathy for one another. Spirit, we're aware that really prayer is perfect for this time of physical distancing while socially connecting. For when we cannot be together in person, we can still reach out with our spirits. We can still reach out with our caring. We can still reach out with our thoughts. We can hold in our beings our care for one another. And so in the silence that follows, we lift up to you those that we are carrying in our hearts this day. In some ways, these days, it has felt like we are carrying the whole world. All people impacted by this pandemic. And perhaps that reminder is helping us to remember that we are and always are connected to one another. So, Spirit, in this silence, hear our prayers for those about whom we are worried and those for whom we are grateful. Spirit, from this place and this time, our caring prayers are with care home communities in Quebec, with people in the Wuhan province of China, with people all over the world who are dealing with grief and loss, with fear and with hope. May we know that we are part of this human family, and that we will move forward together with resilience, with hope, and with love. Blessed be. And amen.
Like everyone else, I waited all winter for spring to arrive. And here it is, right outside the window, out of reach. Yes, we can sit on the front porch or balcony or work in the garden or go for a walk, but everything feels strange to me. And it's not just that people are wearing masks and avoiding one another. When this year started out, we still had Bill Withers with us, the man who wrote Lean on Me and Ain't No Sunshine. We had John Prine, who started out writing Angel from Montgomery, but who ended up singing about the Tree of Forgiveness. Bill and John aren't coming back. Neither is my hero, Lonnie Johnson, who died 50 years ago. And 50 years before his death, when he was in his teens, he came home from a trip to find out that his entire extended family had been lost in the 1918 flu pandemic. His world had vanished, with no word of goodbye, just vaporized. Imagine trying to envision a future if you were standing in Lonnie Johnson's shoes. And yet, in the years to come, he pretty much invented blues guitar playing. He performed and recorded with Louis Armstrong, Jelly Roll Morton, and Duke Ellington. He had his own hit records. He mentored the young Bob Dylan. Then he moved to Canada, where he inspired a generation of young musicians in Toronto. So our situation, however strange it feels, is not unique. We've never experienced anything like it, but others have. Will things ever get back to normal and I don't have to keep my distance and worry that other people won't keep theirs? Who knows? But I think Lonnie Johnson would tell us that whatever resurrection means, it doesn't mean just getting back to normal.
The major holidays of this season are taking on extra resonance this time around. Our Jewish neighbors and friends are honoring Passover, the story from the book of Exodus of all of the Israelite people fleeing Pharaoh's slavery, going toward freedom, taking 40 years to get there. Our Jewish sibling friends are commemorating that journey through the Seder meal, which reenacts through the foods shared some of the experiences of their ancestors. Every time I have participated in a Seder, I have always been deeply moved, especially by the bitter herbs put in the salt water, which represents the tears of those who have made that journey. A local rabbi and her spouse sent me a message in honor of Passover this week. It read, "A plague of biblical proportions used to be a metaphor. No more so. Now we relive in the days before Passover the fears of the ancient Egyptians. Why this? Why now? Why here? Who will live? Who will die? When will it end?" What resonates especially for me this time around is what led to the Exodus. Perhaps you remember the story of how God kept trying to signal to Pharaoh that the people should be let go. Locusts and frogs. Well, we haven't seen that quite yet, but we have wondered, is this another plague? How will and when will this pass over us? And we have wondered at how much this particular plague has plagued so many, plagued particularly people who live in densely populated places, people of color and poor people, seniors in care homes. And yet we have been aware that we are all fragile, that none of us is immune from what could befall any of us in the midst of this plague. And hopefully we have become aware, as did those ancient peoples, that it will take collective effort. Hopefully we have learned not to complain as much as those ancient Israelites did to Moses. Hopefully we are listening to the Bonnie Henrys and other people who are the Moseses of our time, telling us how to get through the Red Sea of this plague. Because liberation from a virus, from a public health crisis, takes all of us. Takes all of us believing and trusting in one another, though we are not together. So in a way, there's a bit of a paradox to this. We need one another, and we can't be with one another. Easter's notion of resurrection, it seems to me, has often been a challenge for Unitarian Universalists. We mostly don't know what to do with a bodily resurrection. After all, no one we know has ever come back from the dead. It seems outrageous, preposterous even. And yet, I think we all know what it is like to feel entombed by something, an addiction, a lousy relationship, a dead-end job, a rut of any sort. We know what it feels like to come back from that place, to be reborn, if only metaphorically. You could say that there is a way in which the ultimate message of Easter is that Jesus's message of love and inclusion was so powerful that it couldn't be killed, that it rose, that it rises still. We have known and witnessed resurrections of all sorts. We have ourselves been witness to many resurrections. Perhaps we're going to witness another one now. All of this led me to thinking about a poem of Wendell Berry's. He wrote a poem back the year I was born entitled Manifesto, Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Wendell Berry, who is now in his 80s and lives on a farm in Kentucky, wrote this manifesto about the ways in which our capitalist market economy demeans all people. And after listing all of the things that it does to us that are wrong about all of the ways that it makes us into commodities, he writes, "So, friends, every day, do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Love someone who does not deserve it. Ask the questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. Practice resurrection." I have always appreciated that last line. It has brought me up short each time, confounded me a little bit with its multiple meanings and possibilities. And yet, for Easter, in the midst of a global pandemic, it seems absolutely apropos. I find that it actually holds some hope for me. Practice resurrection. Practice, as in practice makes perfect, so I could become better and better at resurrection if I work at it. Practice, as in I could make a spiritual practice out of resurrection. Practice the art of resurrection, finding new life out of loss and grief and death. I could perhaps be like an attorney and create a resurrection practice, put out a shingle, practice the art of resurrection to share with others. What are your resurrection practices? How are you working to free yourself from old notions of what it means to be connected, to offer care and support or love in this time? How can you reach out in a time when you cannot touch? Out of this time in the tomb, something good may come. It is the hope that many of us are holding on to. Recall the end of the poem that Melora shared with you last week by Laura Kelly Fanucci, her poem entitled When This Is Over, which she ends by writing, "When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be, we were called to be, we hoped to be, and may we stay that way, better for each other because of the worst." That sounds like resurrection to me. May it be so. And blessed be. And amen. Friends, I invite you to grab your chalice or your candle to prepare to extinguish it. And then in a few moments, Nick will play Carry the Flame for us. And even though we will be muted, we will sing each in our own homes about carrying the flame of resurrection with us this week. Will you, as a benediction, extend a hand toward your screen while placing a hand on your heart, feeling the connection between us? It has been remarkable to me in these days how much one can feel a connection even though we are not in the same space. Feel the connection. Know that the love and the care, the concern, the hopes are with you, of all of these people. You can feel it. Can't you? And in the days to come, it will remain with you, holding you when you are frustrated and cranky about this virus and you just want it to go away. And it will hold you when you are delighting in the beauty of spring, new life, resurrection, love. They cannot be defeated, and they will not go away, and they will hold you always. Blessed be, and amen. It is such a delight to see all of you, and we will move into a virtual coffee hour for those who wish to stay and have some small group conversation. And as we get ready to do that, I think before we do move in, before Arne starts moving us into breakout rooms, I would invite us to, we'll take this down in a moment and we'll all look at one another once more. And then I'll invite those who would not like to stay for the coffee hour because they have turkeys to cook or hams to cook or gatherings to prepare for to log off so that then we can begin to get into our small groups. But if you would unmute yourselves and turn on your video and see each other and say Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Easter. To see everybody.
Everybody.
Happy Easter.
Good to see you.
Happy Easter.
So everyone, I'm going to go on mute now. You'll go on mute now. So,